Hello and welcome to Developing Perspective. Developing Perspective is a podcast discussing news of note in iOS development, Apple, and the like. I'm your host, David Smith. I'm an independent iOS developer based in Herndon, Virginia. This is show number 92, and today is Wednesday, October 24th. Developing Perspective is never longer than 15 minutes, so let's get started. So what I'm going to talk about today is yesterday's Apple event, which is perhaps unsurprising, and that's why today is a Wednesday rather than Tuesday. But basically, let's see, I was encouraged by what I saw yesterday. It was honestly, in many ways, I was much more encouraged by it than I was by the iPhone 5 event, because while the iPhone 5 is awesome, it was, I didn't leave the event feeling like, oh my goodness, wow, they're really, you know, Apple is really, you know, doing, doing amazing things and really kind of pushing the edge at all. It's kind of like it's the next logical step. There are a lot of things in yesterday's, yesterday's like just stream of announcements that I think really were quite impressive and things that I'm glad they're doing. And so what I was going to kind of talk through today is, first I'll talk a little bit about the iPads and some a few thoughts there, and then mostly I'm just going to focus on sort of how all these new machines change the sort of ideal developer machine landscape. Now, but first I'll talk about the iPads. So first, there's always the amusing story of the 220-day-old iPad 3 being, you know, deprecated, essentially, which is a little awkward. As you know, if you bought one of those, which I'm sure most people who do any development on the iPad did, because it was the first Retina screen, it's kind of annoying that I think I have two, maybe three iPad. I mean, it's because there are so many different things going on with them. So I have a bunch of these iPads that are going to be kind of underpowered and kind of difficult to support going forward. And I say difficult to support because they're in this really awkward middle ground where the original, so the iPad 3 was sort of barely able to support a Retina display. It did it, but you couldn't really tax it too hard. It would struggle a lot with certain operations. You know, some of the classic, even simple things of like trying to, I think this is the great example of taking a render of a graphics context would be kind of rough because it's so many pixels. And now that it's sort of like, now they've actually released the iPad that you can almost kind of imagine that they wanted to release back in March. It's a little awkward though for developers because now we still have to support the, whatever it is, 10, 15 million iPad 3s that just came out, which I'm sure they sold quite a lot of them. We have to support them and manage them, but they're being replaced on the Retina side by a much more capable device, the iPad 4, which is, by all accounts, a much more capable thing. You know, it has a faster processor. It's the same physically, but better, in a way that is hopefully helpful. It's kind of annoying, I'm not sure if I'm going to get one right away. Honestly, the thing is, there's not that much that it does that the iPad 3 won't do, and I'm nervous about sort of starting to do a lot of my testing and things on an iPad 4, at least right away, because my guess is I would push things to a point where they wouldn't work as well on this weird kind of limbo device. So I probably won't order one right off the bat, but I'm sure I'll get one eventually. I have one of almost everything at this point. The iPad Mini is interesting. I like the concept of it. I think the price is a bit high, but whatever, they can do what they want. Pricing. I think from a form factor perspective, I think they nailed it. I think it looks really nice. You know, sleek, thin. I love that the screen resolution is the same. It's just a higher pixel density. Like, that is great. I'm going through my apps right now, kind of making sure that everything works at that size, and it should. If you've made your tap targets at a reasonable size on the old iPad, they should still work at the smaller size. The thing that I'm more worried about is fonts, and specifically some of my font size choices, just making sure that, you know, a font that was, say like I did a 10 or a 12-point font for a small subtitle or something somewhere, that may have worked on the old iPad, but it'll be a little too small on the new one. So that's something that I'm looking at fixing and changing, just kind of making sure all my text is nice and readable. My tap targets I'm pretty sure are fine, but I'll also be going through those. And that's kind of really all you have to do. I would expect the biggest impact of the iPad Mini is that there's going to be a big jump in sales in iPad and iPad apps, just because the price point's moving down. And it's a much more likely gift, I would say, than the original iPad, just in the sense of you're getting in the door at $329 in a way that before you were getting, and, you know, my guess is Black Friday sale, that'll probably be $299, be my guess. I guess they'll sell a ton of them on that kind of thing. And so I think it's a big deal for, you know, I'm working as hard as I can and frantically to get, check the weather ready for the iPad. So to be, you know, to make it work on both platforms, because I think there's going to be a lot of growth right there in the very near term. So making sure that I'm on, sort of on the cusp of that wave. But otherwise, you know, it's all good stuff. Nothing too dramatic. I was a little surprised there weren't any iOS announcements. I kind of had a gut that they might do something with that, but they didn't. You know, it's just really was iBooks was and iBooks author stuff was really the only sort of software announcements. But, you know, overall, a pretty good run. Just a little bit annoying about the iPad 3. All right, so I'm going to talk now about how all these new Macs that they've basically revamped the entire lineup, save the Mac Pro, since June. Essentially. So at WWDC, it was the new 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro and Ivy Bridge MacBook Airs. And then now they've added to that a new Mini, a new iMac, and a 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro. And I think that creates a very interesting sort of segmentation for the market in terms of what's the best developer machine. And I think it works out pretty well. I was giving some thought last night, and I think Apple's created some fairly nice chunks for, you know, if you're a developer or someone who really, what I mean by developer machine, I mean someone who's using their computer professionally, that this is what you do for your career, to make your living on it. And so it's not the kind of thing that you're just like surfing the web or, you know, watching videos or those types of things, where your choices and your trade-offs would be very different. This is, if you're using this to make your living, you can, you know, it's like you have different goals, different characteristics, and different things that you're trying to accomplish. So first, I was going to sort of look at work my way through the lineup, starting off with the MacBook Pro, or sorry, the Mac Pro. And basically, I think the Mac Pro only makes sense to buy at this point if you need some kind of odd, like, external graphics card, or, you know, specific graphics card setup, or you need to have 5 hard drives or something very, very specific like that. You need 2 DVD drives. Like, there are a few things that only it can do, but pretty much that's it. I would generally say, speaking, not recommend the current Mac Pros for anybody. It's just a really old machine. I think it hasn't been revised in over 2 years. And, I mean, other than the stupid update they did at WWDC, that wasn't really an update. But, you know, it's really not a great machine right now, and there's a lot of more compelling options. So I would just sort of write that off from the start, because it's kind of expensive for what you're getting, and they're clearly not putting a lot of effort into it. Maybe this coming year they'll release something new, maybe at WWDC or something, like, you know, Tim Cook's email, oh, we got some good stuff coming in 2013, maybe, but, you know, stay tuned. Next, I was going to say the Airs. The Airs are great machines. I love the Air I have. I've seen a lot of people who love their Airs. The Airs are a great machine if portability is vital for you. And by that I mean, if you're someone who's a traveling consultant, if you're someone who's, you know, bouncing between meetings all day, if you're someone who, one of the most important things for their computer is that you're able to walk around with it, an Air is a fantastic machine. They're pretty capable. They're not quite as fast as a lot of the other things I'll talk about, but they're probably fast enough at this point, especially because they're all SSD-based, and that means that a lot of operations, other than things like compiling, are probably going to be very fast and snappy and good. So if portability is your main goal, just get an Air. They're amazing machines for that. I mean, you'll barely even know you're carrying them, especially especially the 11-inch, which is typically what I recommend for somebody. And though I say that because, for me, the 13-inch Air doesn't make a lot of sense, because it's sort of small, but it's kind of big still. If it's bigger, it's like, if I want a small computer, I want a small computer. I mean, my Air actually fits in one of my coat pockets. I have a Scotty vest, which is a great jacket with lots of big pockets. And actually, I can fit my Air in there. Like, that's great. If I want something that's a bit bigger, I'd probably move towards getting a Retina MacBook Pro at this point. So that's why I'd say, if you want something small, get an 11-inch Air, max it out, great machine, you won't be disappointed. Next, I was going to talk about the Mini. And the Mini, I think, is a great starter machine now. The Mini is a great thick starter machine because from a pricing perspective, it's really inexpensive compared to a lot of the other options. And obviously, you don't get a monitor with it, which all the other machines come with, but if you have an existing monitor kicking around, you have an older display, you have an old cinema display, an old any display, is a great way to get a Mac. And from a performance perspective, it's actually kind of interesting. If you max out the Mini on CPU, you're actually getting a machine that's probably about as fast as the fastest 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro, which is a pretty beefy machine. That's what I use right now, and I mean, it's great. And so the Mini is a great machine. It would certainly work well for like a build machine or those types of things. But I'd say if you're a developer, really short on cash, really kind of just need something to get going, even an entry-level Mini is probably going to be really good. So definitely worth keeping in mind. It's not as compelling as some of the other things I'll talk about, but it's definitely a solid machine. If money is the most important thing, I'd say a Mini is a good choice. Next is the iMac. And the iMac, I'm kind of looking at it from a professional machine perspective of the iMac is the... It's almost the new Mac Pro in some ways, where it is, you can get the, if the thing you want most is raw CPU performance, the fastest CPU you can currently get in a Mac, I think. You can get one of the highest value high performance CPUs in a Mac today comes in the iMac. If you get the crazy maxed out, I think it's a 3.2 gigahertz quad core i7 or something. I mean, that is a beefy machine. And you may be able to get more speed out of one of the a Mac Pro with like whatever the 12 core or something if you're doing rendering or something, some kind of operation like that. But for actual use, sort of thread based use, my guess is the iMac is going to come out pretty well in the benchmarks for performance. Typically, I don't recommend iMacs. I used an iMac for a couple of years and I kind of regretted it. And especially this one looks even worse in the sense that if anything goes wrong, absolutely anything, it's kind of annoying that it's all in one. And it's very, at least in my experience, it's really awkward to have a repair go well. In the sense of, I've definitely had it where I had a hard drive go bad and they went in, they changed the hard drive, and then there was dust under the glass, and so they had to take it back, and it's a really hard thing for them to repair well because it is so integrated and so all in one. A laptop's a little bit like that these days, but at least the laptop has a different discrete display versus components on the bottom, and just in general, I don't feel it's like, and you're getting a lot more for that compaction, and so. I like the iMac if performance is what you absolutely need, but typically my guess and my main recommendation is that if you really are a developer who wants to do some work professionally on your computer, the best thing is going to be to get a Retina MacBook Pro. They're great. I have the 15-inch version, which is the sort of if you have the money, it's worth it model. Get the 15-inch. I got a nice spec'd out one. Certainly very expensive, but it's very worth it. It's a great machine. It's portable, high-performant. The Retina screen is amazing. And for iOS, for Mac development, it's kind of essential. For iOS development, it's just very helpful. The fact that I can run an iPad Retina simulator natively on the screen and it looks normal, rather than on any other display, you're kind of having to scale it down and things, that just doesn't work as well. So I really recommend a Retina MacBook Pro. I'd say a 15-inch, if you have the means, I highly recommend it. If you don't, if money's a bit tighter, I think a 13-inch Retina MacBook Pro is probably is really, really good. The Mini is only if you're really strapped for cash. If you can afford it, even a baseline Retina MacBook Pro in the 13-inch, which is not too bad on the as Macs go, would definitely be where I'd start off. It's a great machine. It's fast. Nice SSD inside. The screen is gorgeous. And all you're really getting with the 13 versus the 15, from my opinion, is you're just getting a little bit. You're saving some money. The 15 is a better machine for almost every measure except for size, but the size difference isn't as dramatic. So that's kind of where I'd say. All right, hopefully that's helpful. And as always, if you have questions, comments, or concerns, I'm on Twitter at @_DavidSmith. I'm on AppNet at @DavidSmith. And otherwise, hope you guys have a good rest of your week. Enjoy the new stuff. Be up at 3 a.m. to do some ordering, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.